And there are such people like that in the body of Christ. They can talk good about you, and they build you up, but in back of their minds and in their hearts, they can hardly wait for you to be destroyed. I think that we have to be careful, because Nehemiah here is trying to teach us something about not only ourselves, but our enemies.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Ries in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has spent nearly 50 years serving the Lord, and sadly, he's encountered people who have wanted to undermine the work he was called to do. But in those times, God has enabled him to persevere. For a free DVD of Raul's full testimony, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Thanks so much for joining us today as Raul continues our study of Nehemiah. If you've been feeling under attack in the kingdom-building work of God that you're doing, you'll be encouraged to seek His help in fighting against the lies of the enemy and recognizing those who might be trying to undermine you. As you follow along today, you'll see that no matter what you're facing, God can give you strength and discernment to stand firm. Here's Raul Ries now in Nehemiah chapter 6 with the lesson, Opposition by Craftiness.
When you look at Nehemiah, you would have to say, if you come to a conclusion concerning this man's life, is that Nehemiah truly and sincerely was a man of integrity. As you look around the world today, you look at ministries and you look at churches and pastors and evangelists, and you look at sheep and lambs. But the question is, how much integrity do you possess in your own life? Can people count on you? Can people trust you? That's why it's so important to know God, to know His will. Because we not only make choices the moment we get up in the morning, we make choices on what outfit we're going to wear. And we live in a society of making choices every day of our lives. Every day. I think that as we look at Nehemiah, we understand that Nehemiah was not only a man that made true choices according to the word of God. But Nehemiah is a man of integrity. And here Nehemiah, as he stepped out to do the work of God, many oppositions came against his life as the enemy would try to destroy him. He tried to discourage the people from doing the work of God, and he tried to put a stop to the work of God. I think that it's important that we realize that open opposition in the forms of mockery and threats had totally failed against Nehemiah. So one more shot the enemy brings by coming and bringing craftiness against Nehemiah and his people. Look at the opposition by craftiness, verses 1 through 4. The first thing in verses 1 and 2, we have the problem. He says, now it came to pass, or it happened, that when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors on the gates. You see, everything had been completed except that he had not hung the gates upon the city walls. So really, the walls were finished, but the gates had not been hung. And the enemy still was pursuing. The enemy was still persisting in bringing fear to Nehemiah and bringing the people of God down. The enemy never stops. He never rests. While you sleep, he plants. And I think it's important for all of us to understand that the conspiracy and the response of the enemy comes in such a way. Watch this. Look at the response in verse 2. And Sanballat the Gershomite sent to me saying, come and let us meet together among the villages of the plains of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. Notice that first of all, the enemy wanted to pull Nehemiah from doing the work of God. They wanted Nehemiah to come to a neutral place. Not a place of defense, but a place where he would have no defense against the enemy. They wanted to isolate him. The enemy always wants to isolate you and me. You notice that Nehemiah, in listening to the enemy, you can tell that Nehemiah is a man of prayer and the word. Because why? Because there in that verse 2, he discerns that this is all a setup to kill him and to harm him. He knows. He knows this is not of God. Ono was a place where the tribe of Benjamites had settled. It was pretty far out there. It was far away from the city of Jerusalem. And they wanted to get him out there only to hurt him, not to help him. The enemy never wants to help you. He wants to destroy you. You must realize that. And you know, there are people, we can't always blame it on the enemy, but there are people just like Gershom here, and like Tobiah and Sanballat, that are constantly harassing the work of God. Constantly harassing the work of God. They're jealous of what God is doing in the ministry. They're jealous of what God is doing in your life. They covet. They become bitter. They become hardened. And I was reading this book this last weekend too by Campbell G. Morgan, an autobiography, which he was one of the greatest expositors of England that taught systematically through the Bible. And the guy that writes this book was with him for about 45 years. At this point in time, Campbell G. Morgan is still alive, and he's about 75 years old, and he's still teaching and preaching, but his body is deteriorating, he's weak, he's sick. And he talks about it in there, how many people would try to come close to Dr. Campbell G. Morgan and would try to become his friends. And these people that gather around Campbell G. Morgan, these were the type of people that were yes men. They were always building him up. And I'm always concerned when people, everything they say is something always good. And he goes on in the chapter and he says, the reason they build you up is because they can hardly wait to destroy you. And there are such people like that in the body of Christ. They can talk good about you and they build you up, but in back of their minds and in their hearts, they can hardly wait for you to be destroyed. They'll be the first ones to sound the trumpets of victory. It's true. I think that we have to be careful, because Nehemiah here is trying to teach us something about not only ourselves, but our enemies. And maybe up to this point, you really cannot discern who your enemies really are. But I will tell you something, that God is not your enemy. And there are those in the body of Jesus Christ that really truly love you, and they pray for you. And they watch over you because they care for your souls. The book of Hebrews says that's your leaders. And I am amazed because, you see in a moment here, that as Nehemiah is looking at the problem, and the problem is to draw him out, that he has discernment that these people, all they want to do is they want to bring him down. They don't want to bring him up. They want to bring him down. They want to bring everything to a conclusion so that the work of God stops. Look at the response that he gives to the people in verse 3. And so I, Nehemiah, send messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. I like Nehemiah. Nehemiah knows how to manage his time. People get mad at me because I won't spend time with them. Can you imagine if I had to spend time with every one of you every day? I can barely spend time with my wife and my kids. And people demand, I demand time from you. Well, you can demand all you want. I can't give it to you. I mean, it'd be different if I was surfing all day long. I would love to do that too. But I can't. I think that we have to come to a place where Nehemiah says, look, man, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work of God cease while I leave it to go down to you? I think you have to be careful in the ministry and out of the ministry, especially those of you that are there with your employees or employers, or you're doing business, to make sure you know what has to be done and who you have to be with before you tell them yes. You know why? People waste your time, especially if people don't have nothing to say. I'm not saying everybody is like that, but there are people that are time wasters. They don't have anything to offer. And I think it's wise for us, through the lesson, to understand that Nehemiah recognizes that he is doing the work for God and that he is not going to stop doing the work of God. Why? Because he discerns that these people are trying to get him out to stop the work of God, bring this unity and division, and eventually kill him. Now, let me say this to you. That the moment you begin to say no to people, take it from me, you're going to be slandered. That's the next step. Nehemiah begins to be slandered by the people because he wouldn't go. It's so hard trying to please people because it seems that when you try to please men, men always is looking for something to get from you. And I'm not saying that everybody is like that. And it was a letter of slander against Nehemiah and the people. Verse 5. And then Sanballat sent his servant to me, and before the fifth time, four times they hassled him. Notice verse 4. But they send this message four times, and I answer them in the same manner. I'm not coming. And then Sanballat sent his servant to me, and before the fifth time, with an open letter to his hand. And it was written like this: it is reported among the nations that Geshem says that you, Nehemiah, and the Jews are planning to rebel. When did he ever say that? You see? They're already presuming, they're already misjudging, they're slandering against Nehemiah. That Nehemiah is going to rebel against the people. Which Nehemiah was never going to do that. And then he says, and because of this, according to these rumors, which were rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be the king. Not only are you going to rebel, but you're trying to set yourself as a king. Nehemiah was not even running for king. And yet these people took upon themselves to misjudge, to threaten, and bring accusations against Nehemiah that Nehemiah not only was rebellious and was going to rebel, but also he wanted to be the king to rule over the people. And then watch this. And you also have appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, and this is what they're going to say, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come therefore and let us consult together. You see, they use strategy and they're using tactics by slander to bring fear to Nehemiah so that he will submit. They said, we're going to tell the king, Artaxerxes, that you left the kingdom only to make yourself a great name for yourself and to become king, and then you're going to come against him later. How sad. How sad that these people brought slander to Nehemiah and to the word of God. And then the response by Nehemiah in verse 8 and 9. And then I sent to him, saying, no such things as you say are being done, but you are inventing them in your own minds. How many times we invent things because of jealousies? You're making that up in your own mind. People have a tendency to make up things in their minds, and those things will consume them. And this is how we lose friendships. This is how we lose mothers and fathers, brothers and sister relationships. But I like Nehemiah because Nehemiah has discernment. Why? Because he's a man of prayer and the word. Verse 9. For they all were trying to, notice, were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and then it won't be done. You see? If we can put fear in the leader, then the rest of the people will become weak too through fear. And what happens? They'll stop working on the gates. And then we can take them and we can take everything from them. And then in verse 10 through 14, we have the opposition by treachery now. First craftiness, then slander, now by treachery. Notice the problem, verse 10. And of course, in verse 9 at the end there's the prayer again. It shows you where Nehemiah was at. And now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. He's a man of prayer. And then afterwards, I came to the house of Shemiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was of a secret informer. And he said, now they hire this guy to become a secret informer. You have those people in the body sometimes. Watch this. And then, who was of a secret informer, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. This guy was a false informer, because Nehemiah knew that if he went into the temple, according to the law of God, he would be killed. Because he would defile the temple of God. You see, he knew God's word. He was a man of prayer, but also he was a man of discernment. He catches on to what's going on here. Watch verse 11. And then I said his response. Should such a man as I run away? And who is there such as I who would go into the house of the Lord or to the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Notice what he says. I will not do such a thing. And then watch this, verse 12. And then I perceived, I discerned that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. This person was a hireling. He was getting paid to seduce Nehemiah to be killed. And I believe, man, that the enemy has such people even in the body of Jesus Christ that are not only Sanballat and Tobias, but private informers trying to destroy people. It's sad. They bring division. They don't bring unity. They don't bring love or peace. They bring disunity and they bring hatred and they bring division. But yet, Nehemiah had discernment. And then verse 12. And for this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. You see, they were looking so they could stain his name in his ministry. They were looking for him to sin. They can say, you see, he did go into the house of the Lord, which is against God. And they were trying to bring him out of good report. There are those people that are constantly looking for some way to stain your name, to take away your integrity. But then again, Nehemiah, my God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and to the prophetess Nodiah and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. What does he do? He turns them over to God. God, you take care of them. You know what they're trying to do to me. They're trying not only to stop the work of God, but they're trying to kill the man that you chose to do the work of God. And then, the opposition by subversion. The conclusion comes now. In verse 15, we see the work finally completed. God gets the glory and the honor. And so the wall was finished on the 25th day of September 21st. In the 52 days, they did the work. That shows you not only integrity, but it shows you a man of vision. How prayer does work. Prayer does work through God's servants. And then in verse 16, we have the enemy's reaction. When the enemy sees you're totally sold out, they react by this way. And then it came to pass when all our enemies heard of it, that the work was finished, and all the nations around us saw that these things, that they were, then they became very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by God. Isn't that neat? They said, man, this surely is the work of God. They began to speak among themselves. And then in verse 17 through 19, the enemy's disloyalty. Now, because they couldn't get Nehemiah to go outside, not Tobiah stays outside, but he becomes friends from within as he marries one of the girls within the city. You see, he doesn't want to lose touch. He wants to continue to bring this order in the life of Nehemiah and the people in Jerusalem.
Well, if you've been feeling under fire in the kingdom building work you've been called to do, we pray that today's message has encouraged you to seek revival from the mighty, merciful heart of God. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Now, to review today's lesson, you can call 800-634-9165, and we'll send you a complete copy for a donation of $5 or more. When you make your request, simply ask for Raul's message titled Opposition by Craftiness. We'd also like to offer you a new resource from Raul that will assure you of the Lord's blessing and strength as you follow Him in humble faith. Simply titled Obey, this 4-CD audio pack will encourage you to persevere in the path God has laid out for you, trusting that He will equip you with all you need to effectively carry out His will. Contact us to order Raul's new 4-CD collection centered on the empowerment that comes from dedicated obedience. To make your purchase, visit us online at somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165, and we'll send you this audio pack for a gift of $19 or more. That phone number again is 800-634-9165. Or if you'd like, you can write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. For even more encouragement from God's Word, we invite you to take advantage of all of our free Somebody Loves You resources. Download our app to your iPhone or Android for convenient access to more of Raul's teaching, as well as digital Bible studies and a personal scripture reading plan. You can also download all of the Somebody Loves You radio programs as podcasts using Spotify or iTunes. And be sure to join Raul on YouTube every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific for Straight Talk, a Q&A program with biblical guidance for godly living. To stay up to date on what's going on here at Somebody Loves You Radio, be sure to like us on Instagram and friend us on Facebook. Our number one goal here is to encourage you and to equip you with the life-giving truth of God's Word. We value your feedback on how we can tailor these broadcasts to best fit your needs. This ministry is made possible through the partnership of listeners like you. Your generosity helps keep us on the air, and every contribution is tax deductible. We are so blessed to be a part of your daily walk with Christ, and we hope you'll join us again next time. Continuing in Nehemiah, you'll find reassurance that God has a specific, unique role for you within the body of Christ. Here's Raul now once again with the closing comment from today's lesson.
And also in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came to them. For many in Judah were pledged to him. You see, a lot of these people were communicating with Nehemiah, and Tobiah here is being invited to the dedication of the walls. These people, they were outside still, as Nehemiah did not have anything to do with these people in the camp with Nehemiah still wanted to keep friends with these people. They were dividing the church of Jesus Christ or trying to divide the work of Nehemiah. There are such people like that today. They don't have discernment to what's going on. And as they keep these relationships, guess what? These people from outside, like Tobiah, continue to poison the people from within by bringing false accusations and false rumors. But Nehemiah was not moved by that. Watch. And for many in Judah were pledged to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Erech, and his son Johanan had married the daughter of Meshulam and the son of Berechiah. And they reported his good deeds before me and reported my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. Notice he continues by sending the letters and trying to bring fear to the heart of Nehemiah. But because Nehemiah put his trust in the Lord, they couldn't put any fear in his heart.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.